This morning's exhortation, our speaker is Brother Graydon Richardson, and his title of his talk is Shepherds, and we have a scriptural reading, which is Psalm 23. So let's open our Bibles to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So with that reading now, we'll have Brother Graydon.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I bring to you the greetings and love from your brothers in Del Rio, Texas. The Lord is my shepherd. What a beautiful and comforting thought to us. This psalm lays out so beautifully and so clearly some of the many things that our Heavenly Father does for us. He provides for and protects us. He sees that our needs are met. He guides us when we need to know which path to take in our lives. He does so very much for us. It's easy to read this psalm and not realize that the first four verses of this chapter really lay out the entire duty and lifestyle of a shepherd. My grandfather was a shepherd and rancher, and I learned from growing up watching and listening to him that there are a lot of spiritual lessons to be gleaned from looking at the lifestyle of a shepherd. So now I'd like to take a look at those duties and that lifestyle with y'all that this psalm lays out for us. Just a quick look at the first four verses. Some of the points in them. Verse 1, I shall not want. A good shepherd does his best to make sure that his flock lacks none of the things that they need. He makes sure that all of their needs are met and provided for, and in many cases, he does so at great cost to himself. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. A good shepherd does his best to make sure that his flock is fed plentifully. He does all that he can to make sure that his flock does not go hungry, although sometimes he does. Verse 2, he leadeth me beside the still waters. A good shepherd spends a lot of his time making sure that his flock has a safe, clean, and peaceful source of water. He must constantly check the source of his flock's water to make sure that it is clean and hopefully free of disease, and provides enough water for his entire flock so that none die of thirst. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. The word restore here means to return to or to bring back. A good shepherd makes sure to guide his sheep safely from one place to another. And if any of the animals stray from the flock, he works to lead them back and restore them to the safety of the flock and the safe path on which he's leading them. And finally, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One of the most important duties of the shepherd is to protect his flock from whatever dangers they may face. The shepherd has two tools for that listed here. The rod would have been a stick, a thin, long stick that was used to guide the flock along the safe path that the shepherd wanted his flock to travel. When you're leading a group of livestock to where you want them to go, you have the rod in your hand, and if one of them starts to stray off your path, you reach out with the rod and tap it, or if need be, whip it back into the flock. And then the staff would have been a longer, thicker, much more hard stick, stronger, and in some cases very long. And most of the time would have served as a walking stick for the shepherd, but when predators happened to come, that staff was a useful weapon to protect his flock from outside dangers. So the shepherd protects the flock from both dangers from without and dangers that they might get themselves into by straying. So simply put, we can say here that a shepherd, a good shepherd, must fulfill three basic duties. He must provide, he must guide, and he must protect. A good shepherd must fulfill these duties at all times, many times, at no small personal expense. And he needs to be willing to drop whatever he's doing at a moment's notice to go and to see to the needs of his flock and rescue them if they need it. This morning I'd like to take a look at each of these duties in turn and consider their spiritual implications for us. Let's start with the duty of feeding and providing for the flock. As we all know, food and water are key elements that all living things need in order to survive. A flock or a herd of livestock is no different. The shepherd spends most of his time making sure that his flock has enough food and water to see to the needs of all of them. He either has to guide them from pasture to pasture as they graze and need more food and water, or he has to buy feed and put it out from time to time if there hasn't been enough rain that year for the land to provide adequate food. If the shepherd fails in these duties, the chances are very high that at least a portion, if not the entire flock, will die from starvation or thirst. There are some very strong spiritual lessons in this. If you will turn with me to John 21, verses 15 through 17. So Simon, when they had dined, my eyes get a little crossed sometimes. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Christ is our great shepherd. We see Christ fulfilling that role here, intending to the needs of his flock when he feeds them the fish in the previous verses, and feeding Peter and his disciples. Then once he has tended to their needs, Christ instructs Peter that if Peter truly loves him, he is to feed my sheep. Christ is instructing Peter to feed his flock, to be a shepherd unto them himself, and not just a fellow member of that flock. Christ is instructing him to guide them and to teach them and feed them with the spiritual food of the Word of God. And Peter, in turn, gives these same instructions to all of us, if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We are to be not just fellow sheep of the flock, but shepherds as well, each and every one of us. We are instructed several times throughout Scripture to see to each other's needs. And I have some verses that I was going to go through, but for the sake of time, I think we'll just talk about each one. You can look them up on your own. I would highly encourage it. In 1 John 13, verses 5 through 17, Christ gives us instructions that his followers are to serve one another. This is when he washes his apostles' feet. In James 5, verses 14 through 16, we are instructed to pray for one another. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, Christ instructs us to provide for our brothers and sisters should they be in need, when he tells us that if they have done these things, provided for them when they're hungry, clothed them when they're naked, visited when they're sick and in prison, if you've done these to the least of his brethren, you have done them to him. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, we are instructed to comfort one another. And in Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, we are instructed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, to gather together with each other and feed each other the spiritual word. All of these fall within the duties of a shepherd, to feed the flock, and we are to fill them without hesitation, without question, and regardless of the cost to us. Christ does not tell Peter to feed his sheep unless he can't afford to. Christ does not tell Peter to feed his sheep unless they live too far away from him. Christ does not tell Peter to feed his sheep unless it puts him in danger. Christ does not tell Peter to feed his sheep unless they have hurt his feelings and offended him. Christ does not tell Peter to feed his sheep unless he isn't well or has his own hardships or simply doesn't feel up to it today. Christ simply tells Peter that if he truly loves Christ, he will feed his sheep. Period. With all that said, I'd like to look now at another part of the shepherd's life. And that is that a shepherd is going to need to move his flock from one place to another eventually. When this is necessary, it's the shepherd's job to first pick out a path that will be the safest for the flock to travel along, and then gather his flock together and lead them down that path to the destination he intends for them. Inevitably, some of the animals will stray from the group. When this happens, it is the shepherd's job to go and find those animals that have left the flock and work constantly to guide them back and to the destination that he has set for them. Brothers and sisters, we are given very much the same duty with each other. How many times throughout Scripture are we told to exhort one another or to correct one another when we stray? To read and to study the Word of God, which shows us the righteous path, and to use that same Word of God to help guide each other along that path. Moses is one of the many people in Scripture that we can look to for an excellent example of this. By the way, Moses was a shepherd. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness to the border of the Promised Land. He guided them along the path that God wanted them to take. He corrected them when they strayed. He showed them how to get back on the righteous path. We could easily spend an entire week's class just studying the various examples of Moses doing this with the children of Israel. One of the best examples is the example of when the children of Israel turn to worship the golden calf while Moses is up on the mountain receiving the laws that God expects them to follow. When you're moving a flock from one place to another, there's an awful lot of times you'll have one animal or a group of animals out of the flock that stray away almost immediately. And you have to work quite hard to get them to cooperate and come back to the flock and get them going the way you want them to go. Most of the time, your day starts out with several animals darting away from the flock, and you get to go hunt them down and drag them back. And you know immediately that this is going to be one of those days. Moses is having a very similar situation with the children of Israel when they turn to the golden calf. With God's help and direction, he's finally led the children of Israel out of Egypt and to the mount where God told them to go. He's up on the mountain receiving the instructions and laws from God that they would need to live in order to rule, in order to truly be his people. Meanwhile, the people are at the bottom of the mountain making and worshiping a cow, a golden cow. They had just witnessed the 10 plagues in Egypt. They had just watched as the Red Sea parted and allowed them to cross while the pillar of fire kept Pharaoh's army at bay. They had just watched as God destroyed Pharaoh's army by drowning them in the same sea that he had just parted allowing them to cross. They are in the presence of the mountain where the Bible says the sight of the glory of the Lord was as a devouring fire in their eyes. And they are worshiping a golden image of an animal they would eat. We ate cow last night, in fact. The flock was already straying away from the path of God, and the path that God had told Moses to guide them along, and they had really just barely taken their first steps along that path. Moses' entire account is full of similar examples of him trying to lead the people along the path God wants them to travel, both literally and figuratively, and of him having to correct them when they stray again and again. That said, regardless of all the hardships he had to endure, regardless of all the insults he had to bear and the times that the people turned against and murmured against him, even his own brother and sister doing so at one point, Moses never stopped trying to guide the people. He never gave up. He never allowed himself to get so exasperated that he said enough is enough and he quit and walked away. No matter how frustrating it can be, no matter how much hardship we have to endure, a shepherd does not, cannot, give up and turn his back on his flock. He must do all he can, no matter what, to try to ensure that they follow the right path and get safely to their destination. And now I'd like to take a look at the final duty of the shepherd, and that is the duty to defend and protect the flock from danger, both within and without. A really good example to look at, and I can't tell if we have time or not, would be David and Goliath. We all know the story of how David slew Goliath, the Philistine, and turned the tide of battle in Israel's favor. David was a shepherd. He kept and guarded his father's flock of sheep. He fought and slew lions and bears to keep his sheep safe. Here, he slays a 9-foot, battle-hardened giant in order to keep God's flock safe. He didn't turn his back and run from the danger, or get angry at his older brother's harsh words at him, and storm off. He went, and he fought for his brethren, and stood against the giant in battle, trusting in God to keep him safe and to guide him. And he defeated that giant, saving Israel from becoming servants to idol worshippers. A large part of the life of any shepherd is being constantly on the lookout for any possible threat to your flock. I couldn't count the number of times my grandfather would drive all over the ranch looking for whatever stray dog or coyote or whatever predator might be a threat to our cattle or goats. Or how many 90-plus degree days in the Texas summer he'd spend walking around looking for a stray goat or cow or for whatever might have killed one if we found a dead one. Sometimes that threat doesn't come from outside sources like predators, but it comes from the flock's own actions. I can't tell you how many hours you spend, if you have goats, traveling up and down the fence line looking for goats that have gotten their heads stuck in a fence. And getting a goat unstuck from such a situation is no pleasant or easy task. They are uncooperative at best. They will bite at you. They will scream at you. They will tear your clothes. They will trap your fingers between their horns and the fence, sometimes nearly breaking them. And you have to put up with it all and work to get them out of the fence until such time as you succeed in doing so. Because if you don't, they will die. They will die. A goat cannot get its head unstuck from the fence. You don't ever get to turn your back on them and walk away. Our lives as shepherds in the body are no different. We need to protect and defend the body from the predators of worldly influence and from the danger of false doctrine and error from within. If there is a brother or sister of a group that has gotten their proverbial heads stuck in these fences, then it is our job to work to get them out ceaselessly, tirelessly, and never giving up. In closing, brothers and sisters, just as a good shepherd never turns his back on his duties to his flock, we cannot turn our backs on our duties to each other. We are instructed to be shepherds of our Lord's flock, a flock of which we are fellow members. If we wish to truly serve our Heavenly Father, then we don't ever get to turn our backs on that duty, regardless of whatever hardships and frustration we must endure, or insults and offenses we must bear. We never get to turn our backs on our duties to our brothers and sisters. We must always remember that our great shepherd endured unimaginable insult and pain, even giving his life for all of us, willing and wishing to see all of us enter into the kingdom. With that in mind, let us set to work about our duties as shepherds, brothers and sisters.